This interview was produced for Red Eye, a 3-hour current affairs program on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
Since the Liberal sponsorship scandal intensified 2 weeks ago, the media has gone on feeding frenzy over whether Paul Martin's government will survive and how the parties would fare in an election. Thursday, Martin tried to shore up his political fortunes by promising to call an election within 30 days of Gomery releasing his findings. Duff Conacher of Democracy Watch is critical of all the federal parties and of the mainstream media for its neglect of what he thinks are the real issues. He says the systemic flaws of the federal government's honesty, ethics, openness and political donations, waste prevention and general accountability rules essentially legalize government corruption. Duff Conacher has joined me by phone from Toronto. Good morning. Good afternoon, Duff, actually.
Yes, good afternoon here.
So now, did the speech by Paul Martin or the responses of any of the opposition parties actually change your views of them as ignoring these systemic problems in the accountability system, the feds?
No, not at all. Paul Martin, with his infomercial, misled Canadians, as the Liberals have been for the past 11 years, about what they have actually accomplished in terms of cleaning up the federal government. But the opposition party leaders also misled Canadians by claiming that it's only a Liberal scandal and not a federal government scandal or a national crisis. And the system is the scandal, and it's a system that's been operating for 138 years, and it essentially legalizes corruption in the federal government. No one is required, effectively, to be honest, ethical, open, efficient, or responsible in the federal government. And we have to change that system, and an election is not going to change it. And all the opposition parties were saying, well, just get us in power and things will be different. Things won't be different. They haven't been different for 138 years. Almost every single government has seen scandals like this, and it's because the system legalizes corrupt activities.
Now, you accuse the media and opposition parties of inattention during the first half of the federal Liberal regime from the mid-90s on. Can you explain that contention?
Well, from 93 to 99, the Liberals essentially had a free ride on ethics, even though they broke a dozen promises through that time period that they had made to govern with integrity. They didn't appoint an independent ethics watchdog with the teeth to enforce ethics rules for lobbyists and ministers. They instead set up a front man who was a lapdog, completely under the control of the prime minister. They didn't bring lobbying out of the shadows. Still, lots of secret lobbying is allowed now, 11 years later. And they didn't clean up overall the and make the government more open. By strengthening the access to information law. The justice minister in 1994 was Alan Rock, and he said, I'm going to change and strengthen this access to information system. And here we are in 2005, and the Liberals have yet to introduce a bill that will strengthen the access to information law. Also in hiring, they said they would stop the practice of people being appointed who were cronies of the ruling party, and Chrétien made just as many patronage appointments of cronies as Mulroney had done in the past. So, but the media didn't really write about this at all and point out the systemic flaws. They even helped the Liberals hide the fact that they'd broken their promises, because there were about 20 Liberal cabinet ministers who were alleged to have broken the ethics rules. And the media reported every time the ethics counselor, who was completely controlled by the prime minister, every time he rubber-stamped whatever a Liberal did as ethical, the media reported it as ethics watchdog clears so-and-so. And it wasn't, he wasn't clearing anybody. He had no power. It was the prime minister clearing his own cabinet ministers and himself over the allegations. But the media would report it, the mainstream media, every single time the headline was ethics watchdog clears so-and-so. He wasn't a watchdog, he was a lapdog. And so as long as the media does that, with 80% of Canadians getting their news from the headlines, the media can easily mislead the public, and they did so and helped the Liberals break their promises to govern with integrity.
Did the opposition parties pick up the issue and integrate it with their platforms?
Well, this is part of the systemic problem, that politicians set all the rules for themselves and everybody else in society. Most professions where politicians have set out rules are required to be more accountable than politicians are. And that's because the politicians have written the weakest rules and set up the weakest enforcement systems for themselves and set out the weakest penalties for themselves. So they're in a conflict of interest. And the opposition parties made some heat sometimes, but mainly they were just trying to play gotcha and trying to get rid of a minister and embarrass a minister and embarrass the prime minister by trying to force a minister to resign. And the media just played along. The opposition parties and politicians generally, they will highly unlikely that they will ever focus on the systemic flaws because they enjoy the system as it is now, where they essentially have power without accountability. And so the media has been negligent by just following the party's lead and only focusing on what the parties focus on, and none of the parties are focusing on systemic changes to clean up the federal government. Because, again, they all enjoy the system that they have now. I mean, secret bank accounts are legal for federal politicians, where they can take donations of unlimited amounts of money from anyone and keep the donor's identity secret, keep the amount of money they've received secret, and keep the bank account secret. None of the politicians, at least there's not a critical mass of politicians on Parliament Hill that want to clean up that system. And so the media should be taking responsibility and acting in the public interest by highlighting these flaws, even though the parties don't want them highlighted, and trying to embarrass the parties to finally cleaning things up.
So what are the most significant loopholes that the Liberals allowed in their changes to donations and ethics rules in the last couple of years?
Well, the ethics rules still have loopholes, and Paul Martin introduced a huge loophole. So on Thursday night, he was claiming that he's cleaned things up, brought in new ethics rules for people. Well, he actually systemically weakened the ethics rules. Used to be cabinet ministers were not allowed to vote on matters in which they had a personal interest. Well, he weakened the rules, and now cabinet ministers are allowed to vote and take part in discussions and policymaking on issues that they have a personal interest in. In terms of ethics enforcement, finally last year, the ethics watchdog for the federal government was made more independent of the prime minister, but that watchdog is still selected by the prime minister, and the new person who's been put into the position knows nothing about ethics, has no experience in the area, has no legal training, even though he's supposed to be interpreting laws and applying laws, has no lawyers on staff, and doesn't even have the resources. The government hasn't given him the resources to enforce the rules. So that sham enforcement continues. The ethics watchdog, supposedly over lobbyists, enforcing the lobbyist code of ethics, is still under the control of a cabinet minister. So he has no independence. And you go from there to even more unbelievable things. That, as I mentioned, secret donations of unlimited amounts of money and secret bank accounts in politicians' names are legal under the federal system. And so these are all loopholes that just make it a recipe for corruption. And then overall, you look at all of the rules on spending, hiring, ethics, access to information. They're all very weakly enforced. None of the watchdogs can make orders that someone has broken the rules and that they should be penalized and forcing the government to clean things up. All of them can only make recommendations. And that's why we see things like the Auditor General reporting every 5 years on the same problems and nothing being done in between to clean the problems up. So all of those watchdogs need to be given more powers and the powers to penalize people. I could go on and on. There's another dozen serious loopholes that essentially let people off the hook, even though they are violating the public interest, maybe helping themselves or their friends or companies they have ties with. It's a corrupt system, and none of the parties want to talk about it because they're all enjoying the fruits of this corrupt system.
Now, you've mentioned earlier that you think that the media's response to this is weak. How do they deal with these issues?
they largely ignore them. Because in this minority government, when any of the opposition parties could have taken the lead, introduced bills, and at least embarrassed the other parties if the parties wouldn't support their bills to eliminate things like secret bank accounts for federal politicians, none of the parties have introduced any of these bills. And they've just essentially played games for almost a year now on a lot of issues. They've done some serious things on a few issues, but the media just follows their lead. And if an opposition party does not take up an issue, then the media considers that it's not news. Well, I think it is news that we have a corrupt federal government system, and no matter what party would be in power, they could easily exploit that system for their own gain and the gain of their donors and people who they have ties with who are lobbying them for personal favors, and it would all be legal. I think that is news and something that the media should be focused on and embarrassing the parties and constantly asking them, why are you active on this issue, whatever issue the party's active on, while you continue to ignore the systemic flaws in the government's accountability system? But the media doesn't even ask those questions. They just follow the political party's lead.
Now, you've pointed out that surveys reveal the Canadian public has tried to use elections as a tool to punish corruption. What do we know about that?
Well, it's just a very flawed accountability tool because of our voting system. The federal Liberals, in the past four elections, have never had more than 25% of eligible voters in Canada actually cast a ballot in their favor. And yet they had majority power after three of those elections and still have the most seats in Parliament, even though they're now a minority government. And so 75% of those who voted actually voted against the Liberals in the last four elections, and yet the Liberals have remained in power. So that makes it a very, very imperfect accountability tool. The voters of Canada in 93 said a very strong message that they were sick of corruption and politicians who didn't act in the public interest when they reduced the Progressive Conservative Party down to two seats. They had a majority before the 93 election, came out of the 93 election with only two seats in Parliament. And you would have thought the Liberals would have gotten the message that the voters will punish you. But even if the voters try, because of our first-past-the-post voting system, parties can still have majority power, even if they only receive a minority of the votes.
Well, thanks very much for taking the time to talk with me about this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you for taking the interest in it, and you're one of the few. There's a few exceptions over the years, and glad to have the opportunity to talk with you.
Okay, thanks again.
Take care.
Duff Conacher is the coordinator of Democracy Watch, a citizen group advocating democratic reform, government accountability and corporate responsibility. Their website is at www.dwatch.ca.
Red Eye is produced by an independent media collective and airs on Vancouver Cooperative Radio. You can hear the program from 9 until noon Pacific Time, streaming live at cooperadio.org.